And now for our final ration of the best of English.
Hello, this is Michael Poynton at London's Paris studio, introducing a man who's been at it now for 50 years. Ladies and gentlemen, Arthur English.
Thank you. Very nice. Been in show business 40, I've been at it 50. I love it.
Well, you know.
Lovely, the last week it's sad, isn't it?
Last week we talked about your happy days in Variety.
Yep.
And we closed with that great British tradition at its peak in the Command performance of 1951.
Yeah.
After that, Variety began to decline a bit, didn't it?
While we're talking about Command Performance, I did actually make such a success of that one in 51. I was asked back again.
Were you? When was that?
1980.
Well?
Yes. No, Variety was declining, yes. I really came in at the wrong end. Was going down. I don't know why. I suppose the coming of television made a vast difference.
Yes.
And I moved on. I moved into old-time musical. I was down at Southend for about 4 years on the pier. Mr. Southend, they used to call me.
I saw you there. It was
did
a
you really?
Show, yes.
Still talking to Miss Marvel.
But you enjoyed the legit theatre, didn't you? You were doing those sort of
things on the boards. It was very frightening, but and it was hard to get into legitimate theatre because of the discipline.
Well, of course, the theatrical profession is quite famous for lots of ghosts, and I believe you're a bit of a psychic. Tell us something about that.
Yeah, I see ghosts, you know, and I'm not even frightened of them, you know. I mean, I don't mind going into empty houses. I've worked in Variety, but... Sorry, Bob Oates' gag, not mine. I've got a thing about ghosts, you know. Another thing with ghosts, you see, in my experience, you don't see a ghost immediately in front of you. It's always out the corner of your eye, you know, you turn and it's not there. And I came across the ghost in Bath. There's the White Lady in Bath, in the theatre at Bath, in one of Bath. The dressing room, actually, was where she used to sort of appear. And I'd seen her several times out of the corner of my eye in there. Frank Maddox, who used to run the Theatre Royal in Bath, there's the ghost of the butterfly there, because he always dreamt of a butterfly ballet. Mm-hmm. And they'd got this girl ready for this rehearsal of the ballet, and she went past a gas fire and caught fire to the tutu and was killed. And they say there is a ghost, and if you see a butterfly on your rehearsal, then, you know, you're in for a successful show. In fact, when I played there in 77, I actually saw this, when we're talking about December, January, went into the wardrobe, and there, floating around just above the window of this wardrobe, was a Red Admiral butterfly. And it was there, and we used to go in there every day to see this butterfly and see the wardrobe and have a cup of coffee and see this thing flying around. And the day that notice went up for our pantomime to close, we went in the wardrobe and this butterfly was dead on the shelf. Yeah, it's
strange.
Crazy, yeah.
All this psychic experience must have suited you well to play Bodkin in The Ghosts of Motley Hall.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Blimey, that
was
great.
Was that fun to do?
Yes, it was great fun, great fun.
Well, you did a lot more TV after that. There was Follyfoot that I'm sure is well remembered.
Yeah, Follyfoot, yeah, that was...
Slugger.
Slugger, yeah, that was great. That was my lovely wife did that for me because I hate... Oh, I'm petrified of horses. Mm-hmm. I'm better now, but I am petrified of the damn things. Especially when we're in Follyfoot, you know, you'll be leading them round and they'll be plump, plump, plump. Well, if one of them foot stands on your foot, you've got to wait for the other three to move before that
one goes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, one shot there. This pit pony. We used to get letters in about the cruelty of the ponies because we used to make them up, you see, to look all hit and bleeding and all that. And I'm leading this old pit pony who's supposed to have a few days to live. And I'm leading him round and we're going round and I'm saying, come on, old son, there you are. Come on, that's it. And of course, as he goes, he treads on my foot and I'm saying, come on, oh, you're bloody stupid.
Oh, dear.
But I was doing a show for ATV called Copper's End at the time and... my wife was trying to get in touch with me, and she couldn't. And then she couldn't get in touch with my agent because Follyfoot had phoned down and asked if I would be interested in Slugger. And so it was left to her to say, oh, he'd love it, he'd love that, you see. And this was about a farm, was about sick horses and that. And they said, can he ride? And so my wife said, no, he can't ride, but he loves horses, you see. Oh. Petrified. But bless her, it was 3 years, good work on that.
One of the most famous things that you played was Mr. Harmon in Are You Being Served?
Oh, yeah, that was great.
For nearly 10 years.
Yes, that went on for 12 years. I only did 10. I was a new boy. But, oh, that was wonderful. I really loved that.
Well, Arthur, as it's a few years since Are You Being Served was on our screens, let's have a reminder with a clip from the film version.
Yeah.
Here you are as the wily caretaker Harmon booking in at a Spanish hotel in conflict with Captain Peacock and Mrs. Slocum.
Where's the geezer? I'm dying to get to my room to have a shave, a shower and a sit on the balcony.
Oh, what a shame. It's all booked up.
We'll see about that.
Yes,
senor. Good afternoon, Squire. You've got my secretary's cable confirming the VIP suite for the Earl of Armand.
Oh, yes, your majesty. We are very honoured.
Pedro!
The Earl of Armand? You'll never get away with that.
I've got away with it. I used to say I was a trade union secretary, but I couldn't afford the rooms they gave me.
Pedro, take his highness to his room.
See you later, Cop.
Arthur English, Molly Sugden and Frank Thornton with Andrew Sachs in Are You Being Served? That, as I said, was the big screen version.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
In fact, Arthur, you've been in several films.
Yeah.
I remember The Boys in Blue.
Oh,
tell us about that.
Oh, blimey, yeah.
With Cannon and Ball.
That's right, yes. I had to be a farmer and drive a motorbike and sidecar up a lane with a pig in it. The camera's rolling and we come up, we stop there, hold everything, do the dialogue, and that's it. And, right, cut, one take, no problem. And the producer said, look in the sidecar. And a pig's gone, he's on the floor. Plumber thing just would not stay there. We had about 10 takes and this pig kept trying. I said, right, I'll have you, sport. So next time we go up there, I'm sitting there with a sidecar and this pig, I got my elbow and I've got it wedged. Wedged in the side of this sidecar. It can't move. Oh, I said, yeah, all right, sport, in a minute. And I've got him out, that's it. And we do the take, lovely finish, and it's a great shot, done. Well, there's a saying in my business, and that is you never work with children and animals. Well, somewhere there's a pig that says never work with half a pig.
And didn't you have a bit of fun making a film version of Magnum?
They did a Magnum in this country. One of those sort of films, you know, that the Americans do often in this country. And it's a nice excuse because Tom Selleck, Magnum, is going to find an old friend and he happens to, you know, go past Leicester Square and Buckingham Palace. And we were shooting on the Little Venice along the canal there and it was only Tom and I. Tom, I can't tell you. No, well, see. Anyway, so we had to get about 5 o'clock, half past five in the morning, and of course you have your little caravan, you see, for your dressing rooms. And when I get there, there's this bloody great big caravan, about 1 million miles long, with television aerials and all the lot. And next to it is a, you know, a sweet little caravan there. And I arrive, and the first assistant says, "Morning, boss." I said, "Morning, which is mine?" He told me to go, but not in as many words. And then when we do the shot, I'm walking along the side of the canal with Magnum, and he's referring to a person he's come to see, and he said to me, "Well, tell me, how long did you know the St. John?" So I said, "Well, ever since he was a little shaver, I hardly recognised him when he came back from the war." About a month after that, I get called to Universal Studios in their offices in London to do a post-sync, in other words, to talk over the line that I've already done, because it's not easy to understand in America. So the time we'd finished doing it, I'm saying, "Hardly recognised him when he came back from the war, ever since he was a little shaver, you know." And I said, "Gee, that's great." So when that comes out, you're going to look at that and they say, "What's the matter with English? He's taking the mickey out of it."
Well, Arthur, there are so many other things we'd like to talk about. You've been a comedian, still are a comedian, an actor, an author,
a director of Aldershot, or the president of Aldershot football team? What else could one do? But above all, I think you'd agree, you're actually a freeman of the City of London.
Yes, that's right, yes, yes, yes. Yeah, that's a great honour, that's a great honour. I can drive my sheep over Westminster Bridge. I can set my stall up in the City of London. And I can walk through the City of London with my bayonet fixed. But, it's a great honour, I'm very thrilled.
Well, Arthur, we hope you'll be driving your sheep across Westminster Bridge and enjoying happiness with your family and generally entertaining us for many years to come. But you must accept that in spite of all the other things you do, the Prince of the Wide Boys has a special place in our affections. I'm sure our audience would like to see him again one more time, wouldn't you?
Here he is!
Stop the music! I've been robbed. Oh, there it is. Come on, they're laughing at me again. Thank God, I'm in a funny mood tonight. I've just done a burglary. I've got a pair of dark glasses, forced my starched water pistol, rushed into the post office, tripped over the mat and fell flat on my face. Postmaster said, is this a stick-up? I said, no, it's a cock-up. Give it a fork and stand with you. No, well, I haven't been all that well, because I have seen my doctor. Very lucky to see my doctor. He'd been away on a busman's holiday, sleighing in Switzerland. No, he said to me, what do you want? You want to get some fresh air? I said, well, you know, I've got 16 pairs of teeth and 4 sets of glasses. I might as well have a wig as well. No, he said, I don't mean that sort of fresh air. I mean, you know, if you're in the train, you know, and you open the window, that's fresh air. I said, yes, if somebody else opened it, it's a bloody draft. No, well, they got everything in these places. They're really a lovely doctor's surgery there. I was in a doctor, a woman came in a doctor's surgery once. She said, doctor, I've got 18 children. Can you help me? She needed a lot of help. So the doctor said, have you tried orange juice? She said, before or after? He said, instead of. And and I tell you what, one girl came out crying her eyes out, only about 18. And I went into the doctor. I said, dear, what was she crying like that for? Oh, he said, I told her she's expecting a happy event. I said, is she? He said, no, but it's cured her hiccups. But it didn't make a slight bit of difference because I was with him on the other side. You see, well, they're going down there because you always sign it like a big wheel. And as you push it down the other side, they're going to say, Tim Burton, 3 of them come sliding, good, burns your hands off. And they're walking back in there for Christmas while all the other people are coming down there because I wrote and you can step on it. I don't know what the devil I'm talking about. Play the music, open the cage. Yes, thank you.
That was Arthur English concluding the story so far. He was talking to Michael Poynton, who also researched the programme. The Best of English was produced by Edward Taylor.